Welcome to Sports from the Couch.
I gotta say, it's the stupidest thing in sports.
With your host, Mike Mercado.
Players cannot stand them. Coaches cannot stand them. Most importantly, the fans can't stand them.
Brought to you by Mercado Airways.
I'm gonna say it once, and hopefully I'm wrong, but it's a disaster waiting to happen.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
Hello and welcome in, friends, to a special edition of Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. As we have made it to the trade deadline and the Chicago Cubs have completely dismantled the core, it is a new day, the past, the present, the future, will all be talked about on this edition. Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, Chris Bynes, amongst many others, have been traded from the Chicago Cubs. You heard that correct. Anthony Rizzo is now a New York Yankee. Javier Baez, a New York Met. And Chris Bryant, former MVP Chris Bryant, is now a San Francisco Giants. All three men, former World Series champions, fixtures in this organization, are now playing for different teams. And the emotions are high for Cub fans, for baseball fans, for people who just enjoy sports and stardom and watching athletes do things that they do great. And it was an emotional roller coaster for a lot of Cub fans, an emotional roller coaster for sports fans. And that is what we're going to be talking about here on this edition of Sports from the Couch, a special end of the month trade deadline 2021 edition of Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. Before we get into all the news, let's go ahead and take care of some housekeeping notes. We're all over the universe. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, Instagram, Mike Mercado Media. Be interactive with the show on Twitter at Couch Sports Talk. There you could have seen us up to date, giving the info, dropping the bombs as we were getting them from Jeff Passan and Ken Rosenthal. So make sure you're following us over there. Of course, check us out on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network if you would like to see the video version of the podcast. Like us, subscribe to us, share us, hit that little notification bell. It really helps us out. And we're on Roku. That's right. Shout out to Jerry Riles and the Rewind Sports 60. Check us out over there on Roku. We really appreciate all the sports. That's the Rewind Sports 60. They have a bunch of awesome content there as well. So give them a like and a view. They would really mean a lot to us. And of course, media legend Jerry Riles. And we are currently live on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. Hi, everybody. Hi, Facebook. Happy Friday. I hope each and every one of you is being safe and sound. We will get through this together. Of course, you can support us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves, teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves if you want to see some of our swag. Please do us a huge favor. If you like the podcast version of it, like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcast on all major podcast platforms at Mercado Airwaves. And keep up to date with all the shows that we're doing, from the True Crime Show, the Pop Culture Show, the show All About Life, our sister podcast dealing with missing people that didn't get mainstream attention, our interviews with athletes and celebrities, and so much more by following us on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. All right, friends, let's get right into it. So this started Thursday when Anthony Rizzo, who was along with John Lester, but this was the guy that was brought in and was the first major move that Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer did in 2012 to bring this young first baseman to this organization, who represented a lot of what they wanted this organization to be represented by. And I think, you know, as history has been written, he lived up to that hype to fulfill that prophecy. And Anthony Rizzo on Thursday was traded to the New York Yankees, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants. I mean, the Mets included. There were some teams that were making moves. The Cardinals made some moves. This is going to be a Cubs-centric episode, of course, because we wanted to talk to each and every one of you. We'll get to your comments. But later on, maybe next week, we're going to have on baseball insider Paul Shavari to talk about all the major moves that happened around baseball. But Rizzo, one of the big ones, going to the Yankees for the 9th and 12th prospect from the Yankees organization. That's the 9th and 12th prospect from the Yankees. And for the Cubs, that's what a lot of this was. Some players were major league ready. A lot of them are going to be ready within 1, 2, maybe 3 years. And this was the start of it. And then it got a little calm. And then Friday comes rolling around. The morning happens, and we're all just kind of refreshing. And we knew Rizzo being the first one, the first shoe to drop, was very interesting. And it all just came down to this mega deal now that was going on with the Dodgers, with Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. That was the logjam, trying to see where everybody will kind of go around. And as the morning was progressing, rumbling started happening about different organizations, different teams, who's in on who, and the big name was Craig Kimbrell. So, okay, that was the next, a closer who's been the best at what he does the last season and a half. It's a trade value that, you know, you can't hold on to. You're talking about trying to get lottery tickets. That's it right there, was the move for Craig Kimbrell. And, you know, I was somebody who personally thought the White Sox were a good fit. I didn't think they were going to make a deal. I really didn't. I didn't know if that was going to be in the cards. But sure enough, the craziness starts with Craig Kimbrell going to the Chicago White Sox for Nick Madrigal and pitcher Cody Hoyer, who, you know, you got one hurler in Cody who projects to be a closer. You know, he's throwing fastballs at 97. Killer. And Nick Madrigal, you know, this is going to be easy scouting for Chicago baseball locally because he played for the White Sox. You know that he's a contact hitter. And it's interesting the philosophy that you're seeing from the Cubs and the statements that they're making and kind of what's been broken with this offense since 2017, 2018 at least. They want a guy who's going to get contact, who's going to make contact, who's going to get on the bases. And it became really interesting when this move happened. Because who is the second baseman of the future before this trade was made? It was Nico Hoerner, correct? Well, then you see Nick Madrigal being traded. Makes you start thinking a little bit. Oh, that's it. Before we get into what the thought process is, very interesting to see. Okay, they already got Nico Hoerner. They already got, now they got Nick Madrigal. That's very interesting. Okay, put a pin on that. But then you look at this trade. Was it a good trade? I think as Cub fans, and if you're too close to the situation, the scenario here in Chicago, you're always looking for the fleece deal, right? You're looking for that Quintana for Eloy and Dylan Cease. But we have to be fair to certain situations. Because Quintana was a fixture. Quintana was a solid pitcher. The fact that it didn't work out is it didn't work out. But, you know, Cub fans were hoping for that type of trade. It's not what happened. They got a guy who's going to be the starting second baseman next year. And they got a guy that projects really high for the bullpen. Has a big arm. Some control issues, but who doesn't, right? When they're 19 years old, 20 years old, how old he is, right? A kid. But then if you start seeing that, right? You were hoping for a bigger trade if you're a Cub fan. You're glad that it wasn't demolishing your roster if you're the White Sox. And by the way, shout out to the White Sox. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them, but fantastic trade deadline from them. And again, they traded with the Cubs for Ryan Tepera. So this White Sox team, shout out to them. They did a great job. Traded with Cleveland. Love what the White Sox did. Are they a more of a favorite to win the World Series than the Astros? I don't know. But they've put themselves in that conversation. Can't ask for anything else. Can't ask for anything else. And they didn't completely mortgage your future. I mean, that's fantastic if you're the White Sox. But you make this trade, and you're starting to think like, okay, this is who the deal was. You're not getting Kopech. What else is going on? Then the rumors start dropping a little bit. And then the talks start coming from the East Coast. Javier Baez to the New York Mets. And it all starts making a little bit more sense. Why would you go get Nick Madrigal? And if you have Nico Hoerner, your farm system as is. It's because you're going to trade Javier. And sure enough, Javier Baez and Trevor Williams go to the Mets. The Cubs will receive 19-year-old outfielder Pete Crow Armstrong. According to reports, he was the number 19 overall pick in the 2020 draft. He was, I think he's also hurt, but they got one guy in this trade, but they got a guy that's going to be playing for them right away. And that's, again, that's all you can ask for is this bridge, these bodies, hopefully for lottery tickets, a high draft pick, somebody that makes your ratings go higher in your farm system. And on top of that, again, start looking at the scouting report. This guy that makes contact, he's super fast. So you want somebody who's going to be on the base, that's going to disrupt the base paths, that's going to make contact. You're starting to see, as time has gone on, as we've had time to, and right now we're just talking, you know, critically and analytically. We're not talking about emotionally yet. It's an interesting move because you're starting to see the philosophy change. Because what have they done since they made these moves? So look at the contrast of what Javier Baez is, that volatile of a hitter, that compared to what they're now starting to put out there or where they're trying to fill the farm system with. And I know a lot of people are like, just one player. I mean, what people don't also realize is all these dudes are rentals. So the fact that they're able to make some of these moves is interesting in its own right. But then came the one that hurt me the most personally. And I have no shame in saying of the game. You guys all see it here. When I was in high school and when I was in Colt League, I played third base. I love that position. Chris Bryant is literally the create a player that we all did when we were playing MLB The Show or MLB, you know, 2014, 07, 08, all those, you know, games. That's who you create. And Chris Bryant was traded to the Giants with 5 minutes left in the trade deadline. And the return is a right-handed pitcher, Caleb Killian, and minor league outfielder, Alexander Canario. And again, it's just to bolster up the farm system. But, you know, there are parts, I'll be honest with you, when this was happening, that I thought, oh, you know, maybe they're going to re-sign one or two of them, and then they're going to rebuild in that sense. But they got rid of all three. And how traumatizing it was for a fan base, for the boom, boom, boom action of it was crazy. But the heartbreaking thing of the Chris Bryant trade, beyond his conversation at the All-Star game, behind his conversation at the press conference a few days ago, then you see that video of Bryant when he's on the phone and he found out he got traded and he's crying as he's going into the clubhouse. And then the night before, Rizzo, his wife, and their dog, Kevin, taking pictures at Wrigley. Javier Baez telling to the media in an interview, you know, how much he loves the Cubs and just the sentiment that it hurts these guys. And why does it hurt? Why does it hurt Cub fans? Why does it hurt sports fans? Because the shout out to baseball fans. Shout out to White Sox fans on social media. They were all kind of traumatized by what was going on. They were all shook by what was going on. This wasn't fun. Because I can't say it wasn't good. Because baseball was in the forefront. I can't say it wasn't exciting. Because it was. But this was a lot. This was emotional. And so many fixtures. So much of a foundation. Since 2012 all the way to the magical run beginning in 2015. To where they're at now. Shout out to all the baseball fans. I'm not even just going to classify them, just the baseball fans for being classy, having funny jokes, of course, but being classy and recognizing a lot of this talent. Because if you notice on my social medias, I don't understand the slander towards Chris Bryant, former MVP. I don't understand the slander towards Javier Baez. I don't understand the slander towards Anthony Rizzo. More Chris Bryant because I do think he's just been so underrated, underappreciated in this city. But, you know, why does it hurt so much? This Cubs team won the World Series. And they were a likable group. And the honest to God truth about it is even though this Cubs team did win the World Series in 2016. And it was, as a sports fan, pop culture. All the things that isn't short of my family, my friends, and health. It's one of the greatest moments, one of the greatest weeks, one of the greatest times of my life, of millions of people's lives. That little time when everything just seemed okay, the pressure was gone. That's why there's so much connection to this guy. Look at Anthony Rizzo, what he's done for cancer research, Cancer Spotlight, foundations. The way he's connected to the city. Look at the way Chris Bryant has connected to the city in a more quiet way. Look at the way Javier Baez has connected to the Latino community in the city of Chicago. They did build a connection. We did see them grow up. It isn't a very emotional thing. And The part that Cub fans don't want to talk about, I don't like talking about, is the success and the failure. This team should have won more. This team could have won more. They didn't. The frustrating reason is because we thought this was going to be a 10-year thing, that we were never have to go back. You didn't have to win it every year, but you're going to win more. You're going to win them. And while the satisfaction and just the love that we all will always have for 2016 doesn't change the fact that this is still a business. These are still professionals. And deep down in their hearts, deep down in your hearts, anybody who watches baseball, the front office, the ownership, we'll get to the ownership. They didn't do everything they were supposed to do, or they could have done. And it's hard. But this doesn't just fall on the players. The reason this hurts so much is because not only were they not winning World Series because not all the guys stepped up because of injuries, because scouting didn't always work out. Albert Almora Jr., Ian Happ, there are guys who just didn't develop, that didn't help this team. Jason Hayward, putting them in a position, a contract you had to sign when it first came out that's biting you now. And I'm not even going to hate on Jason Hayward. These are just what it is. It's frustrating and it's emotional because you feel like there's still something undone. That something didn't quite get finished. And by the time you knew it, it was over. And it wasn't graceful. And that's what Cub fans have to understand, is what you're feeling is not just because your favorite player is gone or that you spent so much time with them. It's you also have this fulfillment that, well, 2016 filled so much of the joy. You knew that there was more to be done. There more could have been done. And it just didn't. And a lot of that, I do think, goes to Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein. The way some contracts that they picked up, scouting, developing. You know, you look at other organizations that don't have as much as the Cubs, and they find ways to make a factory out of it. You get 15, 16 years of constant success. That's what the Cubs were hoping for. And critically, I mean, we have to be fair in this scenario. We have to be fair, guys, because the truth of the matter is, while it may be upsetting, and we may wish that, you know, because look at a lot of Cub fans, rightfully so, are kind of with me. We're like, well, you should have signed these guys. But there's ways of looking at it, okay? We're about to have a conversation of why maybe you had to make these moves. But my big issue has come down to, why are you making these moves? Why are you getting rid of Javier Baez? Why are you getting rid of Chris Bryant? Why are you getting rid of Anthony Rizzo? With Rizzo, the writing was on the wall, and we should have seen it when during the offseason they couldn't come to an agreement with that contract extension. He thought he was worth something. The Cubs thought he was worth something else. He said it was kind of lowballing. We should have known then. Chris Bryant, for years. We've seen from the Scott Boras thing to seven is more than six with the contract manipulation. Like, we've seen the tension between them. Javier Baez, you know, they were in talks. The interesting thing about Javier Baez is, if you guys remember, they were in the middle of contract negotiations before the pandemic season. And then that went away. So, you know, it's interesting, guys. Like, we're talking about these teams and, like, having to see where they're going and what their purpose was and, like, what should we have seen this coming? Should we have seen this coming? I mean, think about that. Think about all the stuff, the breadcrumbs that we've seen since then. Now, I think we need to talk about, because we have to be fair, we need to talk about, should you have made these moves? Because, as we were talking about, Chris Bryant is not being traded because he's not good. He's not being traded because he's a cancer in the locker room. Chris Bryant's being traded because the Cubs don't want to pay him. Javier Baez is not being traded because he can't lay off the slider going away. Javier Baez isn't getting traded because he's too flamboyant on defense or on the base paths. He's getting traded because they don't want to pay him. Anthony Rizzo, look it. One of my favorite Cubs, literally the captain of this team. You can make the argument, 31-year-old first baseman, bad back, on the other side of his career. Sure. But you can also make a right offer. Make him the bridge. Get somebody that's going to be his replacement. Take care of your guy. There is plenty of conversations to be had about them making the right move. I think the Anthony Rizzo move was the right one. It doesn't change, though, that it's sad. That it's upsetting. The right move doesn't always feel good. You know, what's right often is difficult. So while Anthony Rizzo probably should have been traded, it hurts. And I think why it also hurts, too, it's not only because, as we've mentioned before, that there's a lot of stuff that still wasn't done yet. That they could have won more. Maybe they should have won more. I think why it hurts so much for this Cubs team, why it's so frustrating for this Cubs team, is you look at guys like Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez and Chris Bryant, and you also see that this should have happened 2-3 years ago. Because the truth of the matter is, this is a fourth place team. The offense has been broken. It's had the same problems since 2018. So what was done to solve those issues? What was done to change the roster then? Not a move here, a move there. A lot of it was stubbornness. A lot of it was loyalty. But I think for Cubs fans too, it was the slow death. And it was just this delusion that maybe things would work out. Speaking of not working out, and we'll get to your guys' comments in just a little bit here on this edition of Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. We are wearing black as we put to rest the 2016 World Series era, the core of the Chicago Cubs. In the last, 30 hours, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, amongst others, traded at the MLB trade deadline. And we are all over it here on Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves and on Roku app, the Rewind Sports 60. Thank you to everybody watching us live here on Facebook. We will be taking your comments in just a little bit. I hope you guys are all being safe and sound. It is an emotional day, rightfully so. And the emotions are staying high because we need to talk about the Ricketts. Because we can talk, as we've mentioned, if you're just joining us, as we've mentioned, the offense had been broken. This team has been broken for a little while. You can make the reasons why Anthony Rizzo was traded. We could talk about Javier Baez and Chris Bryant. They should have been extended a long time ago. They're great fixtures to keep building around. You can make the argument about their age, whether they're worth their contracts. All of that doesn't matter. When your ownership has a monopoly around the north side in Wrigleyville, a renovated stadium, redone neighborhood, a brand new network, and yet they're crying poor. They don't want to pay anybody. They want to do it cheaply. Again, doing something right doesn't make it feel good, right? It isn't the easiest decisions. And you could be right in spite of yourself. Can the Ricketts and the front office be correct in saying, we need to get younger, we need to get cheaper, and we need to rethink this? Absolutely. I think there's a responsible way of doing it. I think, like we've been saying forever now, you can't give me a baseball reason not to keep Chris Bryant. You can't. You can't give me a baseball reason to not have Javier Baez. You can make the argument of not giving them Fernando Tatis money, Manny Machado money, sure. But if you don't think for one second that Chris Bryant's a top-tier echelon dude, then you're too close to the situation. Because there's a reason why so many teams want him. There's a reason why he's going to be one of the coveted free agents next year. You don't get guys like that. Javier Baez, is he worth Fernando Tatis' money? Probably not. I'm not going to say anything about another man's pocket. And I'm sure as hell not going to be conservative with a billionaire's money. But if you could have gotten him for a good deal, he was worth it. I don't want this to become a blame the owners thing in the very stereotypical sports radio hot take artist garbage. Let's be honest about it. How hard do you go on for a Jeff Bezos or back in the day, Bill Gates, Mark Cuban, so on and so forth? Yes, you don't become billionaires unless you're crude, right? But you also should know your investment. And I think it's sad that this ownership believes that they could run this entire operation at a cost minimum and still know how much money they're going to print. And then, now they're going to rest on the laurels of like, well, we've done this before. We're going to win. And it's going to be a fast process. And we want to build the next great young Cubs championship team. Are you kidding me? Think about all the stuff that had to go right in 2016. Think about all the stuff that went wrong since then. And that's you're hoping luck is not a strategy. And you need to be able to scout. You need to be able to develop. And a lot of this is luck. And I hate relying on luck. And I hate relying on what could be. Because what I do know is Javier Baez is still a superstar in this league. What I do know is Chris Bryant was a former MVP, was in the MVP conversation this season. They were ready. They've won. They've been here. I know that. I've seen that. Can't say that for prospects that you got. And as we've mentioned throughout this entire episode, you know, the Cubs are a fourth place team. They're not going to the playoffs. They were never going to the playoffs. They were never going to be a contender. The Craig Kimbrough thing is wonderful for both the Cubs and the White Sox. The Tapera thing makes sense. Even the Rizzo thing, as much as it hurts, it makes sense. But it makes sense on a baseball front. It doesn't make sense on a personal and on the way this business is ran internally from the front office. I'm not even going to give Jed Hoyer a hard time. Because here's something too, right? A lot of Cub fans, and I need you guys to listen to me on this one. You can't blame Jed Hoyer on this. You could blame Jed Hoyer when it comes to, again, the scouting, the development, those type of things. But when it comes to how he had to have operated, what he was allowed to do, that all goes on Tom and the rest of those Ricketts. Jed Hoyer is doing what he can. And what, quite honestly, as much as it sucks to say, is going to be the right decision in the long term. If this is the route you wanted to go. I don't know if it's actually going to work out. But if this is what you were going to do, you had to go all in, I think. And, you know, it was an interesting conversation, speaking of this rebuild and how the Ricketts are just going to try to fill that stadium up and build a quote-unquote winner every chance that they get, right? The next young, great Cubs team. Too bad you had a nice, pretty decent young Cubs team and you could have made some moves. And, you know, you think about some of the moves that were made now, and if you had a guy here that was kind of like, you know, the veteran who's going to be on your team for the next 5 years, might have worked out. It might have been a bridge. But the reason I bring that out is, how long are you willing to wait for this rebuild? I know Cub fans who, oh, well, 16 happened, I'll wait as long as I have to. I know Cub fans who are not going to deal with this for more than a year or two. Do you think this is a quick turnaround? Because you could make the argument when you could have made the argument that, I mean, maybe, right? Maybe. I'm actually looking here on the comment sections. Let's, how long have we been doing this, guys? Here live, here on Sports from the Couch, here on Mercado Airwaves on this huge trade deadline day. Let's look at some of these comments as we're looking at this. Tyler, White Sox are the Chicago team now. I say there's a possibility since they were going to be free agents after this season. I think they will get one or two of them back. I don't think so. Because, and it was something I was thinking of as I was looking at this, kind of lost my train of thought, was I don't think that they're going to get any of these guys back. Because they've made it clear that they want to be young. Because think about it. As we were saying, the difference between a rebuild, retooling, a bridge, like, that would be something if Chris Bryant was still on your roster. Javier Baez with the Wilson Contreras, a Kyle Hendricks, and then you bring in some of these other dudes, right? But that's not what they're doing. They got rid of everybody. And they have Wilson Contreras for one more year after this year under control. And same thing with Kyle Hendricks. So I don't think they're looking to bring back a year older Anthony Rizzo. I don't think they're looking to pay the money to Chris Bryant. Javier Baez is going to a team with his best friend and an owner that's willing to give up as much money as he needs to. I think Cub fans need to get this idea out of their mind that somebody's coming back. Look, just because we've seen it with Aroldis Chapman one time and it was just close to home, that's not the norm. The norm isn't to be in contract disputes with your team, get traded, and then come back. That's not the norm. That's a pipe dream. That's a fan dream. That's fantasy sports. It's not real sports. I get the sentiment. I get the want for it. But I've seen that on social media, that the Cubs are going to be in the race to get some of these guys back. Not only do I not think that's the case, I think if they were interested in that, you wouldn't have seen these trades go down. But an interesting point. Shout out to Tyler for that. From Kukuli, I'm okay with most of the deals. We didn't get the best product back, but my hope is they go after one or two of these guys after the season to come back. And again, I get the sentiment. I get the want. But like, would I go after Chris Bryant? Of course, because I wanted him to get the extension here. But do I think that's what they're going to do? No, I don't. And quite frankly, this is something that nobody, again, we find it hard to believe, and I'm guilty of it, right? If you grow up in Chicago, the northwest suburbs, the south suburbs, you know, the Chicagoland area, you kind of get the best of all worlds. You get the small town. You also get the big world feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little bit of everything. It's a mecca. But we forget that that's an entire planet. We talk a lot of trash about LA, the West Coast and the East Coast and LA and New York, that they think that they're the only things around. We do that too. So when Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, you know, John Lester, Kyle Schwarber, Alt Mariznick, just going on the list of all the guys that got traded. Everybody but Zach Davies, huh? Interesting. When you find life outside of your norm, the world just opens up. Think about how long when you've been at a job, and then you think that there's no world outside of it, that this is what the world is. And then you get a new job, and it's that fresh air, and it's different people, and a different routine. There's a reason why in sports, they say a new scenery could do good for somebody. I don't think any of these guys are coming back. I don't think so. And shout out to Carlos. I agree. I don't think the Cubs won't do big contracts this offseason. Now, a year from now? 2 years from now? Okay. Depending on how accelerated this rebuild is. We've talked about it before. Like, yeah, you could have made contract with Javier Baez and then done these deals here or there. Like, imagine Chris Bryant. You still got Magical. You got this other pitcher. Or there's, right, you could think about, okay, this is a two-year thing. This is a one-year thing. That's not what they did. They went all out, and they got nothing but young dudes. This is not a team that's going to go out and try to get a huge free agent next year. I don't think so. I 100% agree with you on that one. I don't think that they're going to be spending any real money next year. The year after that, maybe. Maybe. And again, depends on if Cup fans actually stick to their morals, or I don't even know if that's a good way to say it, but just don't splurge so much on this Cubs team and demand that they put a good product out there. But I'm telling you, next year's going to be a rough one, Cup fans. Next year's going to be a real rough season. So, you know, it's crazy, right? Like, it's crazy how we've gotten to this moment. And I think that's what bothers me the most. It's not that they had to make these trades. You had to. We saw with the Blackhawks. Sometimes you're just a little too late. And you want to be early in these situations. 100% get them having to make these moves. Why I'm bothered is how we got here. Why they dragged their feet. Why at moments they didn't make the proper investments? Why they didn't take the proper channels to try to extend certain guys? Why they were so callous in certain moments, not thinking of the ramifications down the road? And this doesn't just fall on the Ricketts as much as blame is I'm putting on them. This also falls on Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer. So as we've kind of been able to talk some of this out, we've talked about the trades themselves, the fallout, how we're feeling. I think the big kind of thesis, the last statement to Cub fans is, it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling right now, whether it's anger, whether it's anxious, whether it's sadness, whether it's indifferent, those are all valid. It was a unique situation what happened with this team. It was a unique scenario leading to the World Series and everything that came after it. And it was a unique scenario to see how fast it happened because of lack of winning and development. And there was this connection to this team on so many different fronts. And for it to kind of just end so unceremoniously is a bummer. That we didn't get Anthony Rizzo to have his last at-bat knowingly. Chris Bryant knowingly. Javier Baez knowingly. Baseball lends itself to be a romantic sport. There was nothing romantic about what happened today for the Chicago Cubs. What happened today was strictly business. And in sports, sports is business. And hopefully as a fan, you were able to get something out of that experience. Watching these kids become young men, become adults, become veterans in a sport that's so personal. That's all about civic pride, about neighborhoods. I hope that you were able to enjoy them, to go to the ballpark. I hope that you were able to have the privilege to have family members watch the championship win that Chris Bryant to Anthony Rizzo throw for that last out in the 2016 World Series with family members that thought they were never going to see it. And I hope that as time goes on, if you're sad, if you're angry, that it does pay off. Because it's good for baseball if the Cubs are good. It's good for Chicago if the Cubs are good. And it's good for the fans to be happy at Wrigley Field. And I hope when they were winning, you enjoyed it. I hope during the down times, you supported them. Even when you had legit criticism, you enjoyed the time of baseball you were living in. The greatest time in Cubs baseball. My favorite Cub of all time is Chris Bryant. And I'm a dude that loves Ryan Sandberg, Mark Grace, Derek Lee, Sammy Sosa, Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, Carlos Zambrano. Love so many of these dudes. Watched them. My parents met at the McDonald's across the street from Wrigley Field. I hope that while a whirlwind and a great day for baseball, where everybody was intrigued, that while the spotlight was on the Chicago Cubs and the end of an era, that you were able to have some reflection, good or bad, on what was a wonderful time and what may seem like a scary journey ahead, maybe might end up being another repeat of what was a wonderful time in 2016. But until then, feel the way you feel. It's okay. Be sad. Support these dudes. And if nothing else, enjoy some baseball, guys. Baseball is beautiful. And so were the 2016 core of the Chicago Cubs. But with that, guys, we've been here for almost an hour on this live edition of Sports from the Couch. Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javier Baez traded at the trade deadline, heading into the trade deadline. The Chicago Cubs, a new day is upon Wrigley Field, the north side, the Chicago faithful, and the Chicago Cubs. I hope we were able to be a little bit of a distraction. I hope we were able to be a fun conversation for each and every one of you. Thank you guys so much over the last 48 hours for humoring me, for being part of the conversation, for having such a wonderful time with me and talking about this. You know, it may seem, this is sports, right? It's not the most important thing in the world, but it is something that we're all emotionally connected to. And there's so many interesting things that came from it. So many people were investing on so many different levels. So I'm glad that you guys were part of this journey. We will be here to break down all the major trades next week around Major League Baseball. But until then, thank you guys so much for joining us on this edition of Sports on the Couch as we broke down all the major trades. As we mentioned, it is a new day for the Chicago Cubs, and we will be here to see how it plays out. But now all the spotlight is on the scouting and front office of the Chicago Cubs and where some of these great Chicago Cub champions will do with their careers moving forward. And of course, the Chicago White Sox making a big boy trade, some big boy moves. Are they poising themselves to become World Series champions. It's going to be an interesting time in Chicago baseball. But that'll do it for us on this edition of Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. Thank you guys so much for supporting us, for all the support. We appreciate it. We love each and every one of you. Follow us all over the universe. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media, Instagram, Mike Mercado Media, and be interactive with the show on Twitter at Couch Sports Talk. Please check out us on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. We have the video version of the podcast. Please subscribe to us over there and hit that notification button. And we're on Roku. That is right. Shout out to Jerry Riles and the Rewind Sports 60. Check us out over there at Roku. We're on all major podcast platforms at Mercado Airwaves. And on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. This is where we did this live edition on this trade deadline then. We love you all. And of course, you can support us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. Check out our swag at teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. And if you would like to support us, keep up to date with everything we're doing, follow us on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. It's a new day for the Chicago Cubs. The past, the present, the future. We'll be talking all about it. Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, Chris Bryant, the faces, the core of the Chicago Cubs, have now been traded and have new homes. We'll be all about it, all over it here on Sports from the Couch. Please enjoy your weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. We will see you next time here on Sports from the Couch on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm Mike Mercado.